This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikagna Jujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There was trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
So what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. We're great.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade Hingadena. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and Twin City American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. On today's show, we have Clyde Belcourt speaking on the history of the American Indian Day Parade, Winona LaDuke on the Hempster and the Governor, her special piece, and we also have Mary Kanush Podin with updates at the Capitol, Roy Taylor speaking on the 18 hours of continuous music and news on KFAI during Indian Month on May 1st, and along with our regulars, Wendy Pilot speaking about our sacred animals and Curtis West on local, national, and Ho-Chunk news. We're so proud to have Winona LaDuke, Executive Director of Honor of the Earth. Here's Winona.
Honey, this is Winona LaDuke, and I want to talk about the Hemperer. The Hemperer and the Governor of South Dakota. So it's been about 20 years since Alex Whiteplume put in his first hemp crop on Wounded Knee Creek here on the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. Spring has come, winter after winter, and this last winter found that we were buried in epic snowstorms. This spring, the grass is greener than ever. It's time to plant. It's 2019, and the Oglala Lakota are revisiting again a plant to grow hemp on the reservation. Hemp's been a long-standing interest of the nation. That's because it's an incredibly versatile plant. While their 1988 Tribal Council Industrial Hemp Resolution remains intact, there's been a lot of litigation over the past 20 years. In 2019, the passage of the Farm Bill legalized hemp nationally, and the Oglalas are today reviewing an updated Oglala Lakota Tribal Hemp Regulatory Ordinance. The first one was 4 pages. This is 40. The people are ready, and nationally, the industry may be ready as CBD varietals, seed, and fiber hemp begin to flourish nationally. What's clear is that the Oglalas have paid ahead for their place in the hemp industry. And most of the world wants to see them succeed. However, continuing South Dakota's decades behind politics, new South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem vetoed industrial hemp in the state in mid-March. That was after the bill had passed through the South Dakota legislature. As the Oglalas discuss hemp regulations far ahead of the state, it's clear that the state and the Oglala Nation will be in conflict. That's really no surprise. In the meantime, Wyoming's governor signed the first state-level hemp law under the 2018 U.S. Farm Bill. Wyoming Representative Bunky Lukes sponsored the legislation. The Republican representative had a message for South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. "Tell her I hope she vetoes it because that would be good for Wyoming," he said. The bill passed the Wyoming House 60-0, the Senate 26-0. to 3-1, and then the House again, 56-3-1, after being amended in the Senate. So this past week, I was able to visit with the Oglala Tribal Council in a meeting sponsored by the Thunder Valley Community Development Corporation in Kyle. The Tribal Council is reviewing newly drafted hemp regulations, and spring fever is definitely in the air. Individual farmers want to grow hemp, including one rancher I met with really large land holdings on the reservation. This is good land for hemp on this reservation, and it's clear there are many national and international businesses keen on working with the Lakota to create more CBDs and other enterprises on the reservation. You know, Pine Ridge has its own time zone, economy, and world. That's my observation. Chief Matthew King once said, quote, "The only thing sadder than an Indian who isn't free is an Indian who doesn't remember what it is like to be free." On Pine Ridge, the vast landscape, the endless sky, the horse nation, and the people remind us of freedom. You can breathe freedom in. That's why hemp has such potential. The plant grows well in Oglala territory. Just ask Alex Whiteplume, whose field was seized by the DEA. Between 2000 and 2002, federal drug agents raided his farm consistently and destroyed his crop of fiber hemp. That was before he could harvest it for seed. That was his intention. The DEA then secured a court order prohibiting him from growing hemp. Whiteplume couldn't touch the plant. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals later upheld the DEA action. The 8 federal charges resulted in a very long and expensive court battle for the Whiteplume family. Alex had to sell prized horses to sustain the family. Then this past year, the ban on Whiteplume's hemp farming ended. "For 17 years, I've been on the sidelines while people are becoming millionaires," he told me. In other words, the Oglalas, who were planting 2 decades ago, are watching a non-native cannabis market grow exponentially. The times are changing. Ironically, with the seizure of Alex's crop, the DEA essentially reseeded much of Alex's land with hemp seed. They don't call it weed for nothing. The plant loves life and loves to grow. In other words, Oglala territory is hemp territory. The potential of building a set of value-added businesses with hemp on the reservation is great. From local growers and cooperative to local processing of CBDs, herd, and fiber products. That's all part of the original dream of Alex Whiteplume. We call him the Hemperer. The plant takes in bad air and breathes out fresh air. It's mold-free, he tells me. The Whiteplume's battle with the DEA to defend their treaty-guaranteed right to grow hemp was a huge court battle. And it's a story told in a film called Silent Standing Nation. The dreams of Whiteplume Hemp, Inc., which incidentally is a state of South Dakota registered LLC corporation, include a hemp industrial park full of diversified local hemp businesses and processing centers for tribal growers. That vision, Alex explains, includes dehulling hemp seeds, that's a dehuller, that's for hemp hearts, extraction of CBDs, decorticating, and value-added fiber and herd production. That model is likely something you could bring to other reservations, and it's going to affirm a local regenerative economy. Lessons to be shared. Hey, learning from the Oglalas is an important opportunity for all of us. As Philip Whiteman from Northern Cheyenne explained to me once, the next economy is about cooperation, not competition. The fact is that hemp needs to be grown widely to change the economy. Whether the medical economy, the textile economy, or the plastics economy, it will take a lot of growers. Let's be absolutely honest. We have to move past fossil fuels, including all those plastics. Otherwise, we are going to be fighting oil pipelines for the next 20 years. Anything you can make out of plastic, you can make out of hemp. There's much to learn. For instance, CBD plants, all females, require a different life than fiber and seed hemp. And since all those plants are female, they need to live by themselves. I grow them and think of them sort of like divas. They love to be special. And growers need to watch for cross-pollination or male plants. One male will mess up a whole diva group. It's really a careful farming balance. Some tribes are looking at producing CBD plants for commercial CBD producers. Refiners. Others' offers are coming in at $500 an acre, which seems especially lucrative when you're on the ground. Interestingly enough, high-quality organic CBD plants are worth much more an acre, up to perhaps $50,000 an acre with the right partner and the right processing. It's part of what we can learn by working together, and it's also we can learn from what may be a CBD bubble. We can also learn about creating the next economy. Cannabis as a plant is a magical ability not only to heal, but to replace most petroleum byproducts and a good deal of extractive, i.e. logging for papers and lumber industries. It's about how it's processed. It's also about how we relate to the plant. The plant is not a slave. That's what our elders would say. This year's NOCO Hemp Conference, the fifth annual, included more indigenous hemp growers and those interested in tribal policy than ever. NOCO, following an indigenous hemp conference held for the second year in a row at White Earth. At both, delegations from Navajo, Pine Ridge, White Earth, Menominee, Colville continued to share about the evolution of tribal hemp policy and the plans for each nation's hemp development. Everyone seems to recognize the potential for the plant in future indigenous economies and also the need for Native people to be in the leadership of this economy. Aloan Martinez from Pine Ridge talked about the fact takers, the Wasichu at NOCO. We don't want this to be the next economy, the hemp economy. We want to build right relationships. Part of what's going to be key in the upcoming years is securing tribal regulation of hemp. The new Oglala regulations under review are modeled on the most conservative regulatory approach. That's one strategy. The 40-page policy is, however, kind of a thick read for most tribal growers. And in South Dakota, which may be the last state to legalize hemp in the country, that may be a good plan. Other nations are pushing the boundaries with the help of sophisticated legal counsel. There's plenty of that these days as the cannabis industry grows nationally. Spring's here, and while South Dakota once again sits on the sidelines, the rest of the country is moving towards hemp and the next economy. The hemperer is going to watch South Dakota from his hilltop overlooking Wounded Knee Creek. He's planning, Alex that is, for seven generations from now. He's planning the hemp renaissance. I'm pretty sure the Oglalas will be there. Miigwech, thank you. It's Winona LaDuke.
Pini Gigi, Winona, for all you do. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Up next, live in studio, Clyde Belcourt speaking on the history of the American Indian Day Parade. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by the Downtowner Woodfire Grill and Midwest All-Star Wrestling.
Oh, that's next week. Hey, so I'm really, really excited and grateful to have Clyde Belcourt here, co-founder of the American Indian Movement. And, I mean, we could go on and on and what you've done for our people. You've given us so much pride. I know Machoka always talks about how he always was not prideful to be a Native American until the American Indian Movement forefronted us and brought us out there. So this is always a special time when you're here for us and for our people. Pini Gigi for being here.
Well, Bajou, good morning. I'm deeply honored to be here once again to share some thoughts with you and some other issues that are taking place in our community today. Mm-hmm. But Indian Month came out of what we call Indian Week, when we felt that absolutely nothing was being done to upgrade the conditions that Indian people are forced to live under today. And nothing was being done by the state government and federal government to live up to its treaty obligations with Indian people. And we thought we needed to have some type of forum, some place to do things, and we called it Indian Week, and to give the non-Indians and Indian people some knowledge of what has happened to us over the centuries of neglect in this country. And, of course, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of that effort. But when it was formed in July 28, 1968, there was absolutely nothing for Indian people. We had a little sewing group, you know, and when we had the Twin City Chippewa Tribal Council, the only concern was when were they going to get money that was promised us for land through treaties. And that was it, you know. And we found out the reason that was like that was absolutely nothing was being taught about us in the public and parochial school systems of America. In fact, during our first Indian Week, we were called upon by the city of Minneapolis to write up some type of public statement in relationship to that, because they didn't know anything about Indian. In our walk years later across America to bring attention to our treaties and obligations that the government had with Native people, we felt that, you know, most legislators had some type of connection with Indian law and law and treaties. Most of them were lawyers. When we talked about it, I walked in 1978, we felt that still nothing was being done, and we launched an effort to walk the length and breadth of America to educate not only non-Indian but Indian people themselves about the relationships they had that didn't exist at that particular time. And this was quite a walk, you know. And we got halfway across America, and we were invited to come in and speak to legislators and city governments and labor unions and people like that that were concerned, joined us in that effort. And at that time, we weren't allowed to sing, pray, or dance and carry on any type of relationship with the way the European educational system. We had to develop that ourselves. And we found out that most of America still had this John Wayne, George Armstrong, Custer frontier mentality. The only good Indian is a dead Indian. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had to change that. And by the time we got to Washington, D.C., the bill was already passed. They passed the Indian Religious Freedom Bill, and they also passed the Indian Child Welfare Act, which was supposed to protect our children. And a lot of the children that were taken from their parents were never allowed to see them again. In fact, they split them up. You know, some I had a nephew and niece that was going to Edison High for two solid years and didn't know that they were Indian people. I gotta shut this up.
Yeah, that's okay. We forgot to say turn your, but that's okay, Clyde. You can do no wrong here. We appreciate the story.
And just that's a pretty snazzy ringtone. Let me just say that. I like it.
So we found out that most of America had this John Wayne frontier mentality about Indian people, and we knew we had to change that. But unbelieving to most people, you know, we had to write the curriculum for schools to talk about some of the contributions made to modern-day society. And our ceremonies, our prayers, and our songs and all that brought us in better, closer attention. We rewrote the Indian Child Welfare Act to make it strong. We talked about the treaties, and at that particular time in history, there was over 500 treaties made with Indians. Not one of them was lived up to. And, of course, the non-Indian community, which make up the legislation's groups across America, we found didn't know nothing, absolutely nothing. So we took it upon ourselves to start talking about the contributions made to modern-day society. And they were stunned when they found out that we couldn't even pray, couldn't mm-hmm. sing, couldn't dance, couldn't have sweat lodge. Purification ceremonies were non-existent, you know. So we had to make those changes, and we started inviting the non-Indian people to participate in those ceremonies. We didn't lock the door on anyone. And the word spread out across the country, especially the AIM Patrol. Mm-hmm. Most of our Native people here in the Twin City area, somebody in their family was mistreated by Indian people. We found that out correct. And to correct that, we established our own patrol to start monitoring the police department, law enforcement parties across the country. And it was got so popular that we had to split up into shifts. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get everybody in the cars that were available. Mm-hmm. But we equipped our cars, just like the Minneapolis Police Department. We had radios in our cars, and when some crime was being committed within our community, and we found a way to communicate that. So we had a base radio. Mm-hmm. And many times, because Indian people involved, we found out we're the first ones to get there mm-hmm. to help that person. And when people start finding out about that, and the country has started to explode, everybody wanted an AIM patrol. Everybody wanted their own schools. And some of the things that were not existent, we made existent. We quit depending on the non-Indian people to do that for us. We're going to do it ourselves.
That's great. We're going to follow up on that. We have the great Clyde Belcourt with us of American Indian Movement and other movements, and has helped our people. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Nation.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we got a chance of rain with a high near 45. Tonight is mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Tomorrow, cloudy with a high near 49. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 53. And Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 53. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Nightingale. They offer something for everyone's taste buds, from seafood to unbelievable vegetarian options. Come visit them at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. More details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Wakunja Hade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Moon Palace Bookstore and Bee Resale.
You know, we are so excited to have Clyde here. Clyde Belcourt, co-founder of the American Indian Movement, which just celebrated their 55th anniversary this past year, and we're excited to have Clyde. Also, we have on our Facebook Live page, we have a cover picture of Clyde's book that's still on sale, and I think now it's in paperback form.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a big deal when you go into – you've sold so many units that you go into paperback phone and so
– And it's an awesome book, too. I enjoyed it.
All right, Joker.
Well, the nice thing about all that, when it went into paper form, see, a lot of the prisons, federal and state, won't allow a book like that to come out in hardcover.
Oh.
Because they think there's something inside it, you know. And so when it went into paperback, we started getting requests from folklore and cultural programs in federal and state all the way across the country. And now we got people can call us on their telephone. They got telephone times in the evening. Which of course are monitored, but they can keep us updated on everything. And we have a young man on our program. His name is Frank Perro, and I used to be able to go into all the prisons. Some of them they don't allow me in because I said things I shouldn't have said. You know, next thing I knew, there's a bunch of people up on the rafters over the dining hall with AKs in their hands. So we knew that we were reaching people too at the same time. But we're happy now because they're ordering that book all over the country. Some places they're getting 10, 15, 20 of them at a time that are going in to the libraries across America.
It's The Thunder Before the Storm, which is your name, isn't it?
That's my name. I was given that name when I left Wounded Knee on the 51st day. Oh. It was my job to go out and contact Indian organizations across the country, start developing some type of Wounded Knee defense offense committee. And I, when they called it defense committee, I didn't want too much to do with it. And they said, what do you want to call it? I said, I want to call it Wounded Knee defense offense. We're going to put the government on trial. And they're not going to put us. And of course, as you know, the trial lasted 9.5 months. You know, it's the longest trial in the criminal history of this government against Indian people. So now, you know, these young people in jails and prison, they can communicate every day with us, call us on phones and et cetera, and tell us what their needs are and what they had to offer. And they do a lot of beautiful beadwork that they send out, you know, to purchase for them so they can raise money inside the institution. And one of the only places in America where they allowed, they didn't allow tobacco not just to be smoked, but to be used in a ceremonial way. Mm-hmm. And the young Indian brothers in Stillwater State Prison filed a lawsuit against the federal government. And the Supreme actually ruled that they're in violation of our rights to have ceremonies and et cetera. And we're the only ones that could use tobacco, whether it was a Kinnikinick or the rest of small other kinds of tobacco and et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that's carried on across the country now, and it's beautiful. I've been to ceremonies up and down Sioux Falls, and we get there 8 o'clock in the morning, and we have a nice big breakfast, which is prepared by the Indian inmates. And then they take, we have ceremonies during the morning talking about some of the issues facing Native people locally and nationally, and so we're able to do that. And then the at noontime, they had a dinner. All of this now is cooked by Indian people, prepared by Indian people, and they bring buffalo and all that in to serve to the, not just the Indian people, non-Indians are allowed to attend them, those ceremonies. And so we find out now that these institutions all the way across America, almost all of them that have a heavy population and a populated community where a lot of Native people live, are practicing those ways. And all the way from the morning, getting there early in the morning, going into a sweat lodge. I've been able to conduct sweat lodge meetings inside prisons to relate them to what's happening on the outside. So we made some tremendous strides. The AIM Patrol was the biggest thing for us, you know, because we needed something to prove to our people that we meant business. Mm-hmm. And so we chose the police brutality and racism within the police departments that would lead us forward. And the next thing you know, a couple months later, NBC came and spent the whole weekend here riding along with the patrols and did a story on it nationwide. And Alcatraz was happening, and they're having a hard time putting together security there. Because if you went off the island for, you know, they might have three meetings in one day. If you missed up three meetings, didn't get the boat to go back on, you were thrown off the board. You're allowed to still be there, but not exist as a leader. And so they called the AIM Patrol in to help them develop that kind of mechanism and base radios and everything that we had, just like a police department. Mm-hmm. We'd get calls and answer to response to calls that had been made before the police themselves got there. Mm-hmm. And we had taped everything, filmed everything and taped everything. And then they started watching what they were saying. And of course, that just made them try harder and harder to break us up and get rid of us. So we know that. I made a public statement when the American Indian Movement formed in 1968, when I garnered 50% of all the votes. It was a citywide election, and I won that election. And they said, "What are we going to do now? Where are we going with all this?" And that's when I selected to have this patrol. You know, so because we knew that every Indian family in the Twin City area, relatives or somebody, anyone in their family, were either charged or treated badly and beaten up, eyes closed, and hidden with clubs and all that kind of stuff, that we're going to protect them. And we're going to shut down all the bars on Franklin Avenue, all the liquor stores on Franklin Avenue. We made that as a commitment, and that's happened. Mm-hmm. We were able to to do it, but that's where we got the support. And when they found out that we were expanding, out of all the organizations in America, the undergrounds and all the Black Panthers and Weather Underground, all these kind of things were going on. They met in Washington, D.C. We found it was it come out during the Wounded Knee trial. Elliot Abrams was the Secretary of State, and J. Edgar Hoover was the law enforcement, and Tricky Dick was the president. And I made a statement. People said, we're small in numbers. You know, Black people got Martin Luther King. There's millions of people marching all over the world in support of the things that Martin was talking about. And so we came out with a statement that we never give up another inch or another ounce.
Oh.
And we found out that, you know, that they passed federal legislation to put a stop to that. And they targeted the American Indian movement. And when I said they never give up another inch or another ounce, they were talking about that all over the country. When I found out, we became the number one threat. Mm-hmm. I believe it. We became the number one threat to the security and stability of the United States government. We just went like that when I found it out. Mm-hmm. They targeted the American Indian movement. And I was one of them that was to be assassinated because I was outspoken on a lot of these issues. And I was shot at point-blank range right below the heart in Rosebud. My wife turned on the TV here in Minneapolis. My kids started hearing her screaming and crying. The kids all got up, went downstairs, and showed a picture of me on all the television networks that I was shot and murdered early that morning in July during this Rosebud Fair. But I survived that. That was something that we couldn't believe when we found out we were the number one threat to stability and security of the government. So people started hearing about that all over the country, and all these tribal organizations, everybody started changing their names and looking at the treaties and protecting the water and protecting the resources, which is coming the biggest issue right now today.
That's right.
Is the oil pipelines. And White Chippewa Reservation, the line goes up 10 miles from the headwaters of the Mississippi and 10 miles of some of the prime wild rice in the whole world, not just here in Minnesota, but the whole world. And so the government knows that, the corporations knows that, but I think they're going to have a struggle on their hand because all the people that went to Standing Rock has made contact with us one way or the other. That they will be here.
Uh-huh.
The Great Sioux Nation will be here
uh-huh.
when and if that day begins, which is coming up on us pretty fast.
That's right. Well, you know, we're here with Clyde Belcourt and co-founder of AIM and many things like Indian Month that's coming up that starts as Indian Week. You know, we're here with Living History, and it's a beautiful thing here, and we really appreciate you having here. We're going to talk a little bit in the next section about how did that come about. You know, was there a lot of people at the first parade, or how did the parade come?
It's very few people, you know. And then as we got more militant and all that, our people were scared.
Yeah.
A lot of them were scared, but the ones that weren't scared were the women.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of the people that were didn't want to mess around and be part of. It was not the women who were right there at the forefront.
Uh-oh.
And I always responded to that. There's a woman named Gladys Bissonette. She was 70-some years old, and nobody was responding to their cry out for calls and her being murdered and all the still things that are still going like that. Today, she called me on the phone. I never knew her. I never met her. But she challenged the American Indian Movement to come to Wounded Knee. And I said, well, what about your chapter there? And she more or less said, what about the chicken S? S's, we've called on them. They're not doing nothing. So I said, we'll be there. Mm-hmm. We'll be there. And we chose to go there. And we chose to go in Wounded Knee because the book, Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, was being a big seller all over the world, not just in South Dakota and in the American country. And so we knew that we had to keep it on that level, you know. And when we went to Wounded Knee, people come from all over. Civil Rights Organization, Martin Luther King's people, after Martin was assassinated, the people that worked with him, they all came to Wounded Knee. The young black lady that came there, that, what's her name now? She's a woman. She's held the spotlight in the black community all over.
Oh, there. I know who you mean. Shoot, I can't think of her name either.
Yeah, but she was the one that came with Martin Luther King's people and built national organizations to educate people about us. She said that there would never have been a Harriet Tubman ever if it wasn't for the Native people. There's the Native people that brought them all through the forest and woods because it was all wooded territory at that time. And once they got hold of the Indian people walked them back all the way up north here. And that they owed a tremendous debt to the society, a tremendous debt to the American Indian movement.
We're here with Clyde Belcourt of the American Indian Movement. We're going to be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
We are Alusa Nation.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minneapolis, hey, it's me, minus the face paint, from the Legion of Doom, Hall of Famer, Road Warrior Animal. Now, on May 11th, I'm coming back to the great state of Minnesota for the Women's of Nation wrestling event. That's right, me. Come take a picture, get an autograph, put on a spike shoulder pad. I will be there in face paint, in my garb. Come be there, Minneapolis, May 11th. Women's of Nation. Oh, what a rush.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and Mag Mechanical.
Oh, Mike Gozy in the gang. So, hey, I'm really, we're really proud here at Native Roots Radio to have Clyde Belcourt, co-founder of the American Indian Movement. And we were just talking about some heavy-duty history with the American Indian Movement. And I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about the history of the parade and the history of the month. Who came about with that idea? How did that – do you remember how that went?
Well, we had to have some type of a forum, you know, where we start people getting in and people together. And even then, a lot of people kind of laughed at us, you know, didn't say, but there's been so many efforts to for Native people to rise up, but they never existed, never followed through. And once again, it was the women that led that whole effort, her name, et cetera. So I'd like to hear from Tammy.
Hey, Tammy Skinaway, what's happening?
Bonjour. Thank you so much. I started working for Clyde at the Interpretive Center, the AIM Interpretive Center, this last July. Mm-hmm. So I've been very blessed and very honored to learn an immense amount of information, and there's still a lot to learn. And so I have a lot on my mind of current issues and what's going on in the community. And, you know, I just see it as a beautiful thing right now where we're at sitting today, moving forward. With so many ideas and minds to come together for healing, to look at the future and where we're going to go now. And also, we are looking for a permanent spot for the AIM Interpretive Center. Unfortunately, we had to close. It was located on 11th and Franklin. It was there for a while. And so we have historical archives, you know, information there that is available for the world, for educators. And, it's amazing what the archives hold. And so we are looking for a space for that. And so, you know, collaboration so we can all come together in more healing. And I think that that is a piece of what can, you know, happen. And it's a huge piece of us.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to being able to open up the Interpretive Center again.
Oh, that would be
thank you for having me.
Yeah, that would be beautiful. I know I get goosebumps whenever I went there to see the posters, the pictures, the paintings. And I got my AIM swag on today, and so I have a lot of American Indian Movement paraphernalia, and I know you do too, Choka. We're proud to walk the streets of Minneapolis and St. Paul wearing this, and across the country too. And I was at Standing Rock. There was somebody that remember that Wendy wanted to know where I got. I had one of those baseball jackets, the nylon baseball jackets, and he said we have a group in California, and how do I get one of these jackets? And Wendy made me give it to him.
You know, Robert, Wendy, for me, when I put my sweater on or a shirt on, it just I feel proud.
No,
I feel protected. You know, and it makes me want to be a better person.
Because you're representing.
I was talking a little bit about Gladys Bissonette and the focus of the Indian women at Wounded Knee. And when we got together and asked them to leave, you know, because we're going to get it on, we're going to stay there.
Yep.
And she just went over and she took this rifle right out of his brother's hand. He was head of security, and he said, give me that gun right now. Then she walked out in the middle of the arms. She said, I want to thank you, Mr. Belcourt. You call, you respond to my call. You came. I asked you to come. You come. And she says, but I'm never, ever going to put my and go get down on my knees and beg this government for something that belongs to me.
Oh.
And, of course, not one single person left Wounded Knee. She went on to say maybe they'll find you at the end of a belt in some jail, you know, and feeling sorry for us. And it just got just quieter, and not one single person left.
Wow.
And that's why we won. You know, nobody didn't break us up. People didn't say, I want to go. You know, they wanted to stay there. They've taken up so much crap that they wanted to defend themselves from that day forth on the land issue. And the gold and the Black Hills.
Right. The uranium.
So it was the biggest move that we've had there, and the women were strong. They were right there in the bunkers, you know, with us.
And the women are strong now, too. We have we have a couple Native Americans. We have a Ho-Chunk lady that's in the Congress in the United States, and so the women are leading the way still. They led the way at Standing Rock, too.
Yeah.
We had young women racing, running to Washington, D.C. to have Obama stop the black snake.
And so like they say, you know, and we believe that the women are our backbone. You know, they're very sacred to us. And, they're if it wasn't for the woman, would be no man.
Hope.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, women have led the way, and they're still leading the way, and that says a lot. You know, the first meetings of Bellinger was there, and people like that you worked with, that worked with you, that named AIM what it was. Yeah. If you want to tell that story quick, that was really interesting.
There was actually a lady from Red Lake. Her name was Alberta Downwind. And the two women that was with her was one of them was Robinson, the other one was Dickinson. And they were elders, you mm-hmm. know, gray hair, but strong. And she was the one that came up and said, we want you to give your name. It's going to be AIM. I said, what do you mean AIM? Well, you're aiming to do something about education. You're aiming to do something about police brutality. You know, she mm-hmm. got a name, housing, health. And I said, but what does it mean, you know? And she says, American Indian Movement. We're not gonna ever, because some pirate was thousands of miles off his course, running in the wrong part of whatever. We're not gonna use that. And she grabbed me by the sleeve leg real gently. And she said, lad, Rick, smiling. She said, listen, Mr. Belcourt, she says, Indians what they use to oppress us. And Indians, what we're going to use to gain our freedom. I said, okay.
Oh.
They wanted to put it on the floor, and the board of directors, they voted unanimously. There was no argument, no discussion or anything. They voted unanimously mm-hmm. that we become the American Indian movement.
And what a great logo.
And that's CIA, too, by the way. Concerned Indian American Coalition.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So we knew we had to change that fast.
Because they wanted their name back.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, in this last couple minutes here, it's just been, I just want to thank you so much for being here. And thank you, Tammy, for bringing Clyde. It always lifts our spirit to hear you speak. And always, you're living history for our people, and it's great for our audience out there that's not all Native to listen to what's really happening, you know, and what really happened, you know, with the history of AIM. And
I want to say something to my uncle over here, Clyde. You know, man, the pleasure is all mine to even be sitting next to you, man. I'm honored in so many ways that you won't even know.
Thank you, brother.
And thank you, Tammy, for bringing Clyde and being here and speaking your truth, too.
I'm honored. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and you were listening to Clyde Belcourt, the co-founder, one of the co-founders of the American Indian Movement, and just a great elder to look up to. We'll be right back after this short break.
We are the Nation.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
This is AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Spring storm, Trump rally. I'm Ann Cates. A late season spring snowstorm is bearing down on the upper Midwest. National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Orison says parts of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois will be impacted.
We're going to be looking at some areas seeing a total of 4 to 8 inches
of snowfall before it's all said and done. And even a few areas could even see isolated totals to perhaps up around 10 inches by the time we get into the overnight time frame. But the good news is this system will be pulling off to the east rather quickly, and the snow will taper off tonight, and we expect temperatures to warm up a bit on Sunday, and that'll allow for some of the snowfall to begin to melt.
Dozens of flights at Chicago's O'Hare and Midway airports have been canceled or delayed, with 15 million people under winter storm watches and warnings. President Trump will once again not be attending the White House Correspondents' Dinner in Washington, D.C. tonight. Instead, the president is holding a rally for supporters in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Correspondent Boris Sanchez.
President Trump, despite touting successful jobs numbers and great numbers on the economy overall, which we will likely hear about tonight, that 3.2% GDP growth we saw in the first quarter over last year, his approval rating simply hasn't really moved. It's at 39%, according to a poll by the Washington Post and ABC News.
Texas has settled a federal lawsuit over the state's search for non-citizens among 16 million registered voters.
The agreement ends an effort by Texas election officials that led to the state wrongly questioning the U.S. citizenship of tens of thousands of voters. Now, Texas will pay $450,000 to civil rights groups that sued after the state announced in January it had identified close to 100,000 people who were potentially ineligible to vote. The data failed to exclude a high number of naturalized U.S. citizens. A federal judge called the state's effort a solution looking for a problem. Clayton Neville, Dallas.
I'm Ann Cates.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Yeah, you've been acting so conspicuous. You flip it on me, say I think so much. You're moving different when we making love.
Alexa, play Who Do You Love?
Okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why Indeed offers tools that help bridge the gap between a candidate and the resume. Like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we got a chance of rain with a high near 45. Tonight is mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Tomorrow, cloudy with a high near 49. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 53. And Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 53. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is here. The Lindale location opens April 27th. The Nicollet Mall location opens May 2nd. And the Government Center opens May 7th. As the weather gets warmer, we'll start to see fresh produce. More information at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut deep.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Neighborhood Cafe, good food and good friends, and also by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
We heard Sam there. That was good. Hey, I want to, this is hour two of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and, you know, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She's a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name and welcome, Wendy.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, Robert. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that beautiful name by my Dega here, Curtis. I always thank him every week for that beautiful name.
Well-deserved, Kujunk. Well-deserved.
So, you know, I usually talk about animal issues here in Minnesota or in the United States, but I think it's important also to know about how animals are regarded around the world. And, Robert, you sent me this article to look at, and I thought it was very interesting, so I'm going to share it today. And actually, it's information from two different articles that I read. One article is called The Voiceless. It's the Animal Protection Institute, and this is an article written by Megan Scholar. She's a law student. And the second article is written by Nadia Murray Ragg, and she's a community coordinator, Wellington, New Zealand. So this is really interesting that the state of, and I had to look up how to pronounce this, it's Uttarakhand, and it's a northern state in India, and it has awarded animals the same rights as humans in the high court ruling. So this is really making huge strides for animal welfare. According to British media publication The Telegraph, animals in this Indian state are regarded as a legal person or entity. The move was enacted by local justices. The higher legal status is bestowed upon the entire animal kingdom. And coincidentally, new guidelines were legislated in an effort to deter animal cruelty. The historic ruling went into effect July of 2008, just 8 short months ago, from the National Supreme Court. The justices hope it challenges the poaching trade, environmental pollution, and people who inflict abuse on domestic and wild animals alike. It also ruled that the residents of this state are animal guardians who are to be responsible for protecting the welfare of all animals. Quote, all citizens throughout the state are hereby declared persons in loco parentis as the human face for the welfare protection of animals, the court said.
Wendy, what does in loco parentis mean? Did I say that right?
I think so. And I had to look it up. So in loco parentis is Latin, and it means in place of a parent. And it refers to the legal responsibility of a person or organization to take on some of the functions and responsibilities of a parent.
What about the farmed animals, Wendy?
You know what? I'm happy to say farmed animals are not exempt from the ruling.
Hmm.
Yep. While the ruling was central focus on wildlife conservation, farmed animals are not exempt. It would prohibit spikes and other sharp objects being employed in animal agriculture, and it would ensure the temperature animals are raised in stays within 41 degrees Fahrenheit and 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. It also stated that nobody is permitted to keep in harness any animal used for the purpose of drawing vehicles. This state in India is no stranger to setting the bar high for animal rights following the ruling to fight toxic waste in rivers, the court commended. The entire wild kingdom, including avian and aquatic ones, are declared as legal entities. In terms of animal welfare, India is improving. Its animal welfare board has urged the government to outlaw animal sacrifices during the Muslim Bakrid festival, and the country has banned the import of seal fur and skins.
What is this court actually indicating with this ruling, Wendy?
Okay, so in delivering this judgment, the court reasons that the life of an animal must go beyond mere survival, existence, or instrumental value for human beings, and the animals must be empowered to lead a life that reflects their intrinsic worth, honor, and dignity. The court was also persuaded by teachings of the Hindu tradition, which subscribes to the belief that all life is sacred. The court went on to say that the humans must show compassion towards all living creatures and that animals cannot be treated merely as property. They emphasized that all species have the right to live and deserve a full protection of the law. This is one of my favorite quotes by Mahatma Gandhi, and he was an Indian activist. From India, not in Native American Indian.
Oh, I'm getting confused.
And this is loosely quoted, but he says, "The greatness of a nation and its moral compass can be judged by the way animals are treated." And I also love his slogan. So Gandhi's slogan was, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. The weak could never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong."
What rights do animals have in the U.S., Wendy?
Well, that's very complicated, and it really depends on which state you're in. There is an Animal Welfare Act that was signed into law in 1966, and it's been revised many, many times over and over again. And it regulates the treatment of animals in research, exhibition, transportation, and by dealers. The act is enforced by the USDA, APHIS, and Animal Care. And for farmed animals, in the U.S., it requires that minimum standards of care and treatment be provided for certain animals boarded for commercial sale, used in research, transport commercially, or exhibited in public. So, you know, we have a lot of different laws in different states, but it's kind of funny, Robert. I know that you laugh at me sometimes that if I find a fly in the house, I don't kill a fly. I don't kill anything.
I want to be on record. I never laugh at you.
He doesn't.
But I don't. I mean, I really feel like every being on the earth really has its own life. Can I tell you something that happened to me yesterday? I didn't tell you what happened. You might be mad.
Uh-oh. I better not.
Okay.
Oh,
so I got
ready to hit the...
Got ready. It was Friday, getting up for work in the morning. Robert, you had already left for the morning, and I get into the kitchen, and I go to put my coffee cup in the sink, and there was a centipede in there. You know those big, long centipedes that have like 500 legs?
Right.
And I was like, and I stepped back, and I was like, oh, my God. But it was wet, and it was really having a hard time getting out of the sink. So I felt bad for it, you know, and I mean, 10 years ago, I didn't really feel this way. I probably would have just turned the water on and made him go down the sink. But I really couldn't – I didn't know what to do. So, Robert, I looked up while he was in there.
I hope she didn't put him in my office.
No, I didn't. So I looked up really quickly what is the purpose of a centipede, because I really needed to know what the what their purpose was. So I did. And the purpose of the centipede, they prey on cockroaches, termites, spiders, and silverfish. And then I thought, well, those things all combined are way creepier, right, than one centipede. So
I caught that New York accent too on the centipede.
Listen, I only have a minute here. I got a cute, I got a small little plastic container with a top, and I got him in there, right, because he was wet. He couldn't go run really fast, so I got him in there, and I put him in our basement.
Whoa!
Well, because it said here that it's very good to have a house centipede, and they live in the house, and they get rid of silverfish if we have termites, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that they can do that. So then I kind of was wondering, like, what kind of entity or, like, little animal or insect, like, what is the purpose of a tick? Like, does a tick have a purpose? And they do. I looked it up. So they all have purposes. So a tick, for instance, right? It's food force for reptiles, birds, and amphibians. They also help control wild animal populations. Scientists even use them as an indicator of an ecosystem overall health of stability, right? How about a gnat? A gnat has a purpose. So the purpose of a gnat, again, they are an important food source for birds, bats and larger insects. And listen to this.
And my eyeballs.
No, they also pollinate flowers. I didn't know that. A gnat can pollinate.
A little gnat?
Okay. So then I said, there has to be something that doesn't have a purpose. So I was like, a cockroach. How could a cockroach have a purpose? They have a purpose. Okay. I know this is getting a little –
No pet cockroaches, please.
Okay. We're not going to have one. But many cockroaches live in warm tropical areas and feed on decaying wood and leaves. They help break down this organic debris. And in the process, they add nutrients to the soil through their waste. They are also a food source for small reptiles and mammals. So I challenge you to find – an entity, an insect, an animal that doesn't have a purpose, because everything has a purpose, and that's why I don't kill anything. So go India for regarding animals as persons.
And if anybody wants to name our centipede in the basement,
yeah,
put it on our Facebook page.
Let's have a contest to name our centipede, our house centipede.
I was just going to ask what the name was.
I know. Well, maybe Sam. Soon. Let's
Sammy.
Crazy lot of lakes.
Oh. 500, something to do with 500.
Okay.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Next up, Mary Kanush Podine. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Meg Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go
to Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Jay Selby's and J&S Bean Factory on Randolph Avenue in St. Paul.
Hey, I want to quickly introduce Mary Kanush Podine, who's a state legislator, and she's of Native heritage. And we really, really appreciate her updates and what's going on in the Capitol, because everything is so complicated and confusing to me. Here's Mary Kanush Podine.
Hello, everybody. It's Representative Mary Kanush Podine. It is April 26th. I'm back from Puerto Rico. Jumped right back into the action at the Capitol this week, and we had so much going on. Some days we were there from 8:30 in the morning until midnight, and but we've got a lot done. We were able to hear five of our big omnibus bills that are going to really affect our budget here in Minnesota. One of them was the education omnibus, and I think we spoke about that a little while ago. But we have so many good things in there for teachers and counselors, nurses, social workers, and our support staff, because we want to make sure that our kids and our families have the resources that they need to get ahead. Another omnibus that we heard was the jobs and energy budget, and we worked hard to ensure that that this budget gives every Minnesotan access to paid family leave and earned sick and safe time. We wanted to make sure that we are expanding our high-speed broadband throughout the state so that there is accessible internet to help small businesses and farmers compete. And we are cracking down and making employers more accountable for those who are active in wage theft. And so we also worked to ensure that we have measures there to combat climate change. And it was interesting because a number of Republicans actually voted that climate change is not a real thing. And if you can ever go back and look at the tape from there, you will see some and hear some pretty ridiculous comments around climate change. But anyways, we are working really hard to prevent further consequences of climate change. And so the jobs and energy budget is establishing a pathway for 100% clean energy by 2050, which is great. It's a very ambitious goal, but I think if we all work together on this and we're very intentional, we can do it by 2050 so that we are leaving our world a better place for the next seven generations. The other thing that we looked at or went through was our health care, our Health and Human Services omnibus bill. And we are trying to reverse the destructive Republican budget that has been in the past, where they're, you know, allowing huge giveaways to insurance companies, and they had cuts to healthcare access. So we worked really hard to make sure that healthcare is available for everyone in Minnesota by reducing the cost of healthcare, making it more accessible, holding big pharma accountable for the incredible price of prescription drug prices. And there was a bit of an attack on women's reproductive health care. We made sure that we are championing that. And it's not the responsibility of the politicians or the Republicans in St. Paul to control personal health care decisions. So we let them know that we weren't going to have any of that. The other omnibus bill that we heard was our tax bill. And we wanted, again, to make sure that the tax system is a fair tax system and that it provides resources needed for our world-class schools, healthcare, safe and inclusive communities. And so our bill is worked really hard to level the playing field for our working families, farmers. Farmers are suffering terribly, our senior citizens and small businesses, especially after the big corporations hit that jackpot with our federal tax reform. The last one is our agriculture, food, housing, and budget. We're working really hard, and we recognize that farmers carry the responsibility of feeding our communities. And so we are looking at ways to invest in agriculture research. We have protection services, marketing and development, financial assistance, bioenergy, and we are giving some help to the Board of Animal Health, as well as addressing the personal mental health issues that our farmers are really suffering from. The last one is our housing budget, and there is so much good legislation around creating stable housing because we know it helps our children learn and grow in schools. It helps our parents maintain reliable employment and for our working families to have that economic security that we all look for. So our DFL budget is increasing investments so they will be addressing the homelessness, building more workforce housing, providing financial empowerment and training so that we can help low-income renters achieve that home ownership that we all look for and we know is really the first step in building wealth or building security in our communities. I know this is going on longer than usual, but there's so much to report. The last thing I wanted to share with you was this really horrific situation that happened in the Senate on Thursday. The GOP Republicans sponsored a measure that would cut the Minnesota Historical Society's budget for using a Dakota name to identify the site of the historic Fort Snelling. And we know that below the fort is the confluence of the Minnesota and Mississippi River, and our Dakota people, my ancestors, called this site Bedote. And so the Minnesota Historical Society has begun to use that word, Bedote, on some of their temporary signs when they are creating these signs for visitors at the fort. And Senator Mary Kiffmeyer, Republican from Big Lake, was took offense to the use of that and that the Minnesota Historical Society is using that without permission and takes offense at this revisionist history that seems to be happening, and she is not at all comfortable with this. So Senator Kiffmeyer is the chair of the Senate committee, and she oversees state agency budgets, and because of the use of that word Bedote, she would like to reduce the Historical Society's money appropriation by $4 million a year. So she is punishing the Minnesota Historical Society for using authentic words to describe the area where our people used to live. And so this is an 18% decrease in the Minnesota Historical Society's overall budget. That would mean that there would be 53 to 80 people laid off. There would be cuts on the hours of our historical sites. And of course, there would be pretty severe reductions to the educational aspect of the Historical Society and other programs. It's really sad that this bill passed a Republican-led Senate. Their vote was 37 to 28, and I'm really embarrassed to say that there were some Democrats that did support that vote. So in a quote from Kiffmeyer, she says that adding Bedote to the sign is greatly objected by many people, and that the Historical Society has been quite resistant to listen and make change. She wants to make them accountable and be more transparent, and this is her way of getting their attention. She says that this is serious and needs to be paid attention to. So we are really upset about that. I don't know how we'll be able to push back on that, but I want you to be aware of it. And if you have the opportunity to contact Senator Kiffmeyer and let her know this is not appropriate in any way, shape, or form, I would suggest that you do that. So I'm going to sign off now. This has been a long message. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share the legislative updates with you. Have a great weekend. Take care, everybody.
That was Mary Kunuj Podin, House Representative. We'll be right back after this short break with Roy Taylor. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Roy.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exciting. exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we got a chance of rain with a high near 45. Tonight is mostly cloudy with a low around 32. Tomorrow, cloudy with a high near 49. Monday, mostly cloudy with a high near 53. And Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 53. The Eat Local Minnesota Restaurant of the Week is Nightingale. They offer something for everyone's taste buds, from seafood to unbelievable vegetarian options. Come visit them at 2551 Lindale Avenue South in Minneapolis. More details at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350.
Hey, we are super excited. This has just been an unbelievable show. We're super excited to have Roy Taylor here. And we have a quick short story. Wendy and I, we had the pleasure of doing Roy's show on KFAI the day after the election. And we had Dave Hutchinson on as a guest, and Dave had been on our show many times, and we kind of pushed him and promoted him, and now he's Hennepin County Sheriff. So thank you for that, Pini Gigi, for that opportunity, and welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Yeah, no problem, Robert. First, let me just say quickly, because, you know, we believe in the power of our languages, our indigenous native languages, so Adias, Dirawa, Noa, Charix, Charix, Skidi, Bohukstata, Pitisaru, Retu, Staka. That's just a traditional greeting from my dad's people. That's one of the few things I know in Pawnee, in the Pawnee language nation of Oklahoma. So I want to leave that with you here. And we always send that out over the airwaves. And I always like to begin my program on KFEI, Indigeneity Rising, is saying we're going to make our ancestors proud. We're sending our signal out into the universe, out into the cosmos. So same thing here. And
wow.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
It's been a long time coming. I know we've talked about it, and I know there's some things that happen along the way, and I don't think we have to get into it, but if you want to, that's fine. But we've wanted to have you on our show, and we've also wanted to, cross promote and have what's happening on your show and our show, and I think this is a great opportunity and a great beginning of that relationship. So Pini Gigi for being here.
Yeah, we've talked about that, Robert, more recently, and thank you to Native Roots Radio presenting I'm Awake, because you've been in the studio over at KFAI, 1808 Riverside Avenue, Minneapolis, 90.3 FM. I don't know if I'm supposed to do that on commercial radio.
But it looks like Sam's ready to push panic
delay.
Button.
Yeah. Okay. All right. But we do stream live on KFAI.org, and it's become it started out as an informal partnership with your production effort here, and now it's become more formal over the weeks here, because it is true that back in October, I was in an auto accident and I broke my neck. I had a fracture of C6 and 7, and so I was flat on my back in a cervical collar for about 3.5 months. And then I had surgery to repair that. They went in through the throat, and my voice was gone. So Robert and Wendy Pilot stepped up, Beverly Bushyhead, who's Eastern Band Cherokee, and Melissa Olson, who's Leech Lake Ojibwe, came in and started producing content, audio content for Indigeneity Rising, which is heard on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. And so I really appreciate that. And as you can tell, my voice is still a little scratchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole lot better, though, than the way it was even a month ago, 6 weeks ago.
Well, let's talk about our big collaboration here coming up on May 1st. The big parade. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the past, we've had all the way back as far as, I think it was Chris Spotted Eagle, who was at KFAI. He was the lone Native person. He was kind of unmasked, as maybe not as Native as he would have liked to be. But also we had Rihanna Yazzie, who's Navajo or Diné.
Uh-huh.
She started First Peoples Radio. That morphed into First Person Radio with Laura Waterman Woodstock. And we were ably assisted by a young man who was Mexican. We sort of just dubbed him Miss Teca, and that's Miguel Vargas. He's now relocated to Texas, but he's the one that really staffed what we call Turtle Island Voices Rising, and that's every year at the start of Minnesota Indian Month in the beginning, or May 1st, we always had 24 hours of, you know, live radio. Well, some of it's pre-recorded. Well, this year, we're going to have something really new. It's down to 18 hours, but that's close enough to 24 hours. We'll call it a full day. And Robert Pilot and Beverly Bushyhead and a new team member, Jamie Williams, who's with the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe, they're going to be actually on site at the Indian Center right at the end of the parade that's going coming up Bloomington Avenue. So we're going to be trying to catch people as they're coming into the Indian Center for the feast and talking to them live on the radio. But we're also going to be doing a sunrise opening at about 6 a.m. And so the team that I just mentioned, Robert, Beverly, and Jamie, we're all going to be on the air getting us kicked off, or not kicked off the air, but getting us started, I should say. Okay. All right. You know, we always say in radio, don't let your mouth go where your mind, your brain hasn't already been.
So. Whoa. Anyway, good advice. I need to make T-shirts that say
but you,
that.
But, you know, you were able to get us another Ho-Chunk brother, Larry Knudsen. I think he's relocated to Florida. He's going to provide us an hour of music. I don't know what the genre is going to be. Then we're going to use some...
I think it's Native music.
Is it? Okay.
Native American, not Canada.
Okay. Okay, I don't want to use the word indigenous then. But, you know, we're going to have Clyde. We're going to have a statement from Laura Whitstock as well. And then Beverly's going to do an interview with, I believe, Shannon Gieschik with the Indian Affairs Council. And then we're going to have some singing in, I think it's Dakota, the St. Paul American Indian Montessori Preschool. Mm-hmm. You'll be there at the parade. Mm-hmm. We'll have Rihanna Yazzie in to talk about New Native Theater. They're celebrating their 10th year anniversary mm-hmm. this year. I'm going to do an interview with Brian Joyce, and I can't remember what band he's in. He might be White Earth. And Ajawak Kapishijit.
Oh.
He's also White Earth as well. He's been on your program
right.
in the past. We're going to talk about Native American males and acting.
Yeah.
You know, we don't think of that necessarily, except guys on horseback, but those two, one has been on stage for 25 years. Ajawak is now breaking into film and video.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Williams is going to be back at about 4 o'clock, late our drive time. He's going to have hip-hop, mm-hmm. Contemporary powwow mashups, and I think he's been able to get a few elected officials from the state of Minnesota.
He's also was at New York.
Yes, he right now, and we're trying to work out a report there from the UN Permanent Forum on Indigenous Peoples, because he's out there representing the Mille Lacs Band. And later, we're going to go a little more relaxed and have quite a bit of music. We'll have the Pretendians with Thomas Draskovic. So we're going to have them in the studio. And I've got a hold of some good friends of mine who are performers. The husband is from Mexico. He is Mixteca. His name is Chilin Balam. And his lovely wife is Rebecca Crisanta Ibarra. And she has an alter ego that she calls Lady Jacques, and it's sort of a throwback to indigenous feminism. And they have a band. Chilam just won an award to and received some money to do some ceramic flute making, indigenous flute making. So he's going to play one of those on the air for us.
Wow.
And then we're going to be ending it up at the end of the day. We'll have some reflections, and I'm not sure what else we'll have. Maybe rerun Larry's contribution.
That'd be nice.
And we might even have some, who's the guy out west, southwest? We always talk about no flute music. We wouldn't want to be accused of trying to romance anybody, especially late at night like that. So.
That's a good one. I'm trying to talk Uncle Curtis here to come down too. So if
yeah,
there's a little
yeah, on,
leg in the parade, I can we can tell a few. What does my elder think?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear from you and Ron. You guys are going to be the entertainment to me all day long.
Well, we'll be wearing our ribbon shirts down there along with my KFAI hoodie.
Yeah, well, these guys are going to be the boots on the ground. I'm probably going to be back at the station in the mothership and then just kind of controlling everything. And in case we have a short out there, we always do this at Cinco de Mayo with KFAI. And then there's other events around town that they do a live remote from. So this will be the first time, though, it's going to be for Indigeneity Rising, Native Roots Radio. Mm-hmm. Beverly Bushyhead is the host on our web channel of a program called, let me see.
Stories.
Stories from the Drum. Yeah. Yes, yes. And
it's a great show, and she does a great job when you guys work together on your show.
Right, right. Well, we're looking forward to when school ends, and you'll be able to come in you know, during the weekday at 1 o'clock and join us in the studio, or maybe you and Beverly can take it for a while.
So. Right, or maybe I can just wait, too, after I do your show, wait until the 6 – no, never mind. Inside joke, everybody.
Okay.
So we got 2.5 minutes. Let's hear about the day again.
Okay. It's going to be starting at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, May 1st.
We're calling it sleep over, Choka.
Yeah, I'm going to stay over.
Turtle Island Voices Rising. It's our full day of programming, all indigenous, all native, all American Indian, from 6 o'clock to in the morning till midnight. So just tune in, keep your dial or your device dialed in, streaming live, kfei.org. There'll be something there for you. It's whether it's music, conversation, live interviews, music. I think we're even going to have some Dakota and Ojibwe language for a little while on the air.
Uh-huh.
No translation, no subtitles, because it's radio. You know.
And so, I've reached out to John Greendare, and he's looking for some Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, we're going to try and do some Ho-Chunk as well. So hopefully, I suppose if we get call-ins, people saying, well, what about, I don't know, what else, you know? Oto,
what about
Ponca,
Cherokee? What,
yeah. Okay.
Or Blackfoot.
Yeah, that's Wednesday, May 1st, starting at 6 a.m., KFEI 90.3 FM. If you're local, and KFEI.org, if you're streaming, particularly around the country, start telling your family and friends and from 6 o'clock till midnight.
It's a great deal. And, you know, I think that kind of radio, along with progressive radio, really needs to be put out there, because there, you know, after 1987, when Reagan deregulated radio stations, you know, only 4 people own the airwaves. So it's great to have KFAI still going strong, along with AM 950, yeah. KRSM.
Big shout out to Leah Honsky, general manager, and all the volunteers over at KFAI and the American Indian Center, Mary Lagarde, who's hosting us there for the remote.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day. So meet us out there and do the parade and come and see me and Choka. And we'll probably be calling to AM 950, too, to tell them what's up. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to come right back with What Does My Elder Think?
See ya.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Indianapolis, hey, it's me, minus the face paint, from the Legion of Doom, Hall of Famer, Road Warrior Animal. Now, on May 11th, I'm coming back to the great state of Minnesota for the Women's of Nation Wrestling Event. That's right, me. Come take a picture, get an autograph, put on a spike shoulder pads. I will be there in face paint, in my garb. Come be there, Minneapolis, May 11th. Women's Foundation. Oh, what a rush.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ho-Chunk Nation, the people with the sacred voice.
I want to holler something. Hey, this is the section everybody's been waiting for. What does my elder think? Welcome, Choka. Tell us your name.
Ahoo. Pinagigichuske, Chujunk. My name is Moshke Hanajinga. I walk on the white clouds. I'm from the Ho-Chunk Nation, and my colonized name is Curtis West. And I want to say I'm glad to be back to Native Roots Radio. I was missing in action last weekend. So
yeah, but we had you on. You called in.
Yeah, right. But it didn't feel the same. But it was. But I was lonely. And like I said, I want to say happy hello to my baby girl at home,
Kim.
And I say hi ho. I got to say hi ho to all my family and relatives and friends in four directions. I pray that all is well, like we always do. And like I said, my Chushke over here gives me a few minutes to express myself, you know. So I'm gonna go ahead and take advantage of that. So he lets me give some shout outs, some birthdays, and some events and things like that. So first off, I want to this is a special one because I know he's listening right now, and I'm going to get ahead of the regular birthday. So first one was for Dale Weston.
Oh.
You know, he's an elder like that. So I know you're listening, Dale. And I got a story for you when next time I see you, but I'm not going to say it on air. So
Dale's got some land down in Black River. I'm really begging him for an acre, an acre.
Well, just a half acre for me then, too, Dale. So anyway, we're going to give a shout-out to some birthdays. And these are this is the elderless version. So I'm going to say happy birthday to David Curley Patron right out there, you know, and like I said, you know, we're going to talk about Maurice White Eagle, you know. Mm-hmm. So his birthday today, too. So happy birthday to Maurice. And then, friend, this one is dedicated out from Eloise Funmaker. It's for her relative. His name's Frank Rodriguez III. So we're going to say ha-ho to that way, you know. And then, like I said, there's a few of us that are old elders. You know, I'm an elder, but there's a couple people that are a couple minutes older than me or a day older than me. So I got to give them elders their love and respect. So we're going to say a happy birthday to Alan Whitegall, Dwayne Turner, Charles Minor, William Kingswan down there in God's country. So we're going to say ha-ho to them, happy birthday, and many more blessed ones. And then they say I can get some shout-outs, so I want to do that. First thing I want to give a shout-out is to the American Indian Movement.
Oh.
And Clyde Belcourt especially. And he came on the show today on the Native Roots Radio. But one brother that I always got to say shout-out to is, and I respect him, and he did something for me that I'll never forget. I'm going to say ha-ho to Barry Hand. And one I want to shout-out to, he's listening all the way from North Carolina. He's our nephew. He's a jarhead. He's a Semper Fi from down there, man. So he's Spencer Charlstrom is his name, and he's listening today. And one I want to give a shout-out to is my Chushke, my grandson, Parker West. He just made the traveling baseball team. So, you know, I'm really proud of you. And another one we want to shout-out to is David Artramo and Eli from Midwest All-Star Wrestling. And Another shout-out we want to do again, too, is like what Mary was saying earlier on the show, is that I'm really happy that they're changing that to from Fort Snelling alone to Bedote, that Lakota word that means the two rivers that meet, mm-hmm. the Mississippi and the Minnesota River. So we're going to say ha-ho for that good thing that they're finally starting to listen to us Wangsheeks, and we appreciate that. And then I'm going to go with some events. You know, like my brother over here, Roy, was talking about how that language, his introduction was, right? Language is very important no matter what nation you're from, you know? So Ho-Chunk Nation has their beginner's class Monday at 5:30, and on Thursday, 6:30. And they put the—
Do they have food there?
They do. And they said if you can bring a dish to share, that'll be great. But if not, tie on a big feed bag. There's gonna be plenty of food over there. But yeah, that beginner and advances on Thursday at 6:30 over there at the Ho-Chunk Center. And one thing I wanted to mention too on another event, I got a whole bunch of events, so I hope I don't run out of time. And they put the hook to me on Monday the 29th is a community drum and dance, right?
Oh.
At 6 p.m. at Eastview Rec Center, 1675 East 5th, St. Paul, Minnesota. No fees or registration required.
I was there last week on the drum.
Is that right? Yep. Every Monday. It comes on every Monday. So put that on your calendars. All ages, dance styles, and levels are all welcome.
Ooh.
And then on Tuesday, April 30th, this is a thing we want to give to our sponsor, Maw. Midwest All-Star Wrestling. It's going to be, they're tying in with the Summit Brewing Company. Presents Slugfest, 6 p.m. Summit Brewing Company, 910 Montreal Circle, St. Paul. Join us to celebrate the release of Slugfest Juicy IPA.
Wow.
At Summit, enjoy.
Bring your metal chairs and tables.
They said enjoy a Slugfest while checking out live professional wrestling.
That's right, Jack.
And then the one we can't forget, too, is on May 11th. This one's a very important one. It's a Saturday. It's Midwest All-Star Wrestling, Women of Nations, Eagle Nest Shelter. It's going to be at Sibley High School in Mendota Heights. And I get the pleasure of bringing in a Wangsheek, a Native American, for the main event, Austin Arrow. And we'll be walking with Austin with the Red Lake Band, a hand drum. And we got some beautiful Native women in their regalia. It starts, the doors open at 5:30, you know, for a
meet. I'll be there at 5, hiding that metal chair underneath underneath the ring, the squared circle.
Hey, the doors open at 5:30 for a meet and greet and signing autographs. There's going to be a lot of stars out there, though, and the first bell is at 7 o'clock. And anyway, I got a few more.
The high criers are going to be there, aren't they?
And the claw. and this one that's real important, too, that's coming up on May 5th. It's a May Day parade. It's going to start at Little Earth, and we don't have the exact time and everything, but we'll keep you posted. That's for American Indian Movement, okay?
Oh.
And they said they have 17 little buffalo bikes, whatever that means, but it'd be good to check out anyway. And another thing I'd like to mention, too, right now is on May 1st is opening of American Indian Day, you know, and Indian Month, you know, and what's what we call it, you know, but...
Every day is
great to wake up and be a native. And May 1st, like I said, talking
or
about...
Or indigenous.
Oh, no, indigenous and native, whatever, you know. But I'm proud either way, bro. And anyway, that American Indian kickoff day, 10 a.m. at Minneapolis American Indian Center. And then another thing that we got to bring up, too, is, like I said, we brought it about that, was a community powwow drum and dance lessons. Every Thursday, 7 to 8:30, 15:30, East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis. Presentations through cultural awareness. And the other thing we got to bring up, too, is May 4th is on a Saturday, 6202 Bloomington Avenue, Bloomington Road, St. Paul, the 8th annual Powwow for Hope.
Oh, we're going to be there live.
We're going to be there live, and so come on and check us out. But that's at that Boy Scout camp, and if you need information, we got it.
Hey, so
Jake, do you have an elder saying for us?
Yeah, my elder saying today is nature is the storehouse of potential life of future generations and is very, very sacred.
Hey, can we give one quick shout out to what's happening with our guest from last week?
Oh, do it.
I don't have it. Do you know, Roy, what's happening with Yazzie and on the 9th and the 11th.
Oh, right. Yeah, I should have brought that with me. I think it's they're going to do a podcast workshop. It's called Laughing Matters, sponsored by Hennepin County Library, and that's New Native Theater Ensemble. And I think then they have the actual podcast is at South High School on the 11th.
Yeah, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, and join a group that we are the seventh generation.
We are awake.